Hey, Apple Friday. This week, AMD and NVIDIA are both making ARM chips for Windows. Android 16 looks like a really nice upgrade, and the Pixel glasses got teased very heavily. Welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video was sponsored by Hanson Shaving. Okay, for my first story of the week, we got big leaks hinting at new ARM chips coming to Windows very, very soon. First, at the end of last week, we learned from reputable reporters that NVIDIA and MediaTek are expected to launch their AI chips at Computex, which is next week in Taiwan. The two models will be called N1X and N1, and both will be ARM-based chips for Windows laptops. There are also some early Geekbench benchmarks for the chips already, which are apparently very bad so far. I wouldn't worry about the benchmarks too much for now, I guess the drivers aren't optimized and whatever, but the important news is that these are coming potentially next week. And then second, we also got more details about AMD making ARM-based APUs, weirdly enough called Soundwave, and that these should power Microsoft's Surface devices next year. On the CPU front, it's potentially a bit disappointing that the leak suggests that they'll use off-the-shelf Cortex cores from ARM instead of any custom designs like Qualcomm has done for their custom Orion CPU cores. But for the GPU at least, we can expect AMD to use its own Radeon IP, so that's at least some hope for custom designs. And as for timing, the best guess is that AMD's chips should launch at CES 2026, which should be in January next year. So hopefully we'll have two ARM chips for Windows and perhaps even Linux by next week, and then three in less than 1 year. That's pretty exciting. Okay, and for my second story of the week, Google showed off some pretty meaningful upgrades for Android. These start with a pretty major redesign for Android 16 called Material Expressive, which will make animations a little more responsive and playful, and it will also make quick settings more customizable. It will add a new type of blur and shading for depth across the UI, plus there will be more dynamic color themes, updated topography, and a bunch more. And all of these changes are also coming to Wear OS with a more fluid design and more. Google said that through 46 separate research studies with hundreds of designs and more than 18,000 participants from around the world, they got to this point, and that up to a staggering 87% of 18 to 24 year olds prefer expressive design like the one that the company is showing off today. I think Android design in the past was almost a little bit bland on purpose because it was something that other manufacturers would take and then kind of shape into whatever they wanted to make out of it as well, so it had to be kind of a blank canvas. But I feel like with expressive design, with material design actually, each generation of it, it became more and more opinionated. I kind of like it. What do you think about it? Anyway, beside the design, there were also loads of new security features, like better warnings for likely scam calls, or also Google asking you to unlock your device to see a 2FA code in a message. Nice. Plus, they also, for example, renamed Find My Device to Find Hub, and they expanded that with more trackers, satellite-based finding capabilities, airline partnerships, and more. Overall, Android 16 sounds like a pretty nice upgrade so far. Okay, for my third story of the week, I wanted to talk about a teaser that Google actually made at the very same event. Specifically, Samir Samat, president of the Android ecosystem, ended the broadcast by slipping on a pair of glasses and teasing
a few more really cool Android demos.
That looks like a pair of Pixel glasses. This follows a TED talk from about a month ago, which I somehow completely missed, and which also has weirdly few views, so I think it might have gone under the radar quite a bit. In this one, a Google person just demoed the software experience of Android XR fairly extensively. We can see distinct waveguide displays in the glasses, they also appear to support colors, there are clearly cameras, speakers, and microphones, and they showed the glasses quickly summarizing a book, translating between languages, or remembering where the speaker left their keys using cameras plus more. Now you might remember that Humane also showed off their AI pin weirdly at a TED talk, so this is not exactly a great omen for the Google glasses, I guess, but I bet Google will do a better job, and these glasses should launch next week at Google I.O. And then moving on, we have an insanely interesting release monitor this week, starting with Sony launching the Xperia 1 Mark 7, which as you'd expect keeps the boxy design, but also brings some spec bumps. These include a new Snapdragon 8 Elite processor, a significantly larger sensor and wider aperture for the ultra-wide camera, a brighter screen, and perhaps most importantly, finally a commitment to a minimum of 4 years of Android updates with 6 years of security updates. Now that is still a little bit behind the likes of Samsung, but at least it's no longer terrible, and I really think that they should bring this policy to older flagships as well. Meanwhile, also from Sony we got the WH-1000X Mark VI, which for a pretty eye-watering $449 has supposedly fantastic noise cancelling, better sound, a more comfortable band, and the thing can finally also fold up again. Nice! My studio mate Kilian says that the noise cancelling on these is really, really good, and I'm so happy that they can finally fold again. This seems like a really nice upgrade. And also super impressive was Panasonic launching the Lumia Lumix S1 Mark II. Without getting into the details, Gerald Undon said that this is basically as close to a perfect hybrid camera as we can get right now, so I'm actually tempted to finally upgrade from Micro Four Thirds, though at $3,200 for the body alone, it's not exactly cheap. And meanwhile, less convincing this week was Samsung launching the Galaxy S25 Edge. This has flagship specs and an ultra-slim design, which feels very premium in hand in real life, but it sadly also only has a battery with 3,900 mAh of capacity. Boo! It's really a massive missed opportunity for this phone to not have a silicon carbide battery. And since I'm currently preparing a bigger Tech Alta video on Huawei's comeback, I also attended their launch event this week in Berlin, and I saw them launch a bunch of wearables and a new tablet. The feature that stood out to me the most is that the Watch 5 now has a health sensor on the side of the watch as well, on top of the existing wrist sensor, because they say that you can measure things like blood oxygen levels much more accurately on your fingertips than you can on your wrist, just like you would traditionally do with a pulse oximeter. That's nice, and beside, I think also new is the fact that the Buds 6 can now have a transfer rate of 2.3 megabits per second when paired with a Huawei phone. That is a crazy high bitrate for audio. We're talking megabits per second. I wonder what kind of audio files you need for this to even make sense. Anyway, as usual, the links to all the newly announced products are down in the description, and now moving on to the brief, we start with some drama. Specifically, Trump said that he doesn't want Apple building products in India, and that he had a little problem with Tim Cook yesterday, saying that, quote, "We are treating you really good. We put up with all the plants you built in China for years. We are not interested in you building in India." And following up on that, he then claimed that Apple would be upping their production in the United States as a result. Now, I find it extremely difficult to imagine that Apple would actually bring any significant amount of volume manufacturing to the US besides chips, but let's see how this plays out. Moving on, Xiaomi announced the X-Ring 01, which is supposed to be a flagship-level ARM SoC made with TSMC's 3-nanometer node to replace Qualcomm in an upcoming phone, perhaps in June. If I remember correctly, this is Xiaomi's second or third attempt at making it a chip, so nothing is guaranteed, but since they're going for a flagship, that is a completely new thing for them, I guess this shows a level of confidence here. Anyway, next, Samsung also unveiled two types of super bright 4K micro OLED displays with some bonkers specs like 20,000 nits of brightness and also insanely high resolutions. These displays should power the likes of Apple's Vision Pro and perhaps Samsung's upcoming Project Muhan headset too. And talking of Apple, the company launched its next-gen CarPlay, branded CarPlay Ultra, which is rolling out today in Aston Martin cars to start with. So you know, if you have an Aston Martin, that's great news! And meanwhile, in Robotaxi Land, reports indicate that Chinese firm Baidu could start testing its Apollo Go Robotaxi service in Europe this year. Chinese self-driving taxis in Europe? I wonder what the regulators will say about that, but let's see. And also in rides, I think Uber basically reinvented the bus. They have a new bus-like service that costs up to 50% less than an UberX, and wait for it, it travels along a set route, it comes every 20 minutes, and it includes up to two other passengers. So that's like a bus, shaped like a car, and it's run by Uber. Cool! And talking of head scratchers, HBO Max had another rebranding, and now it is once again called HBO Max. Yep, I bet some marketing executive made $1 million with each of these rebrands, but at least the official social media accounts of HBO Max are making memes about how silly all of this is, so I guess we're all good. Hey, don't you feel like tech companies every year try to rename their products for no reason or add 7 features that nobody asks for and actually make their products worse or something? Well, the same is true for shaving. My sponsor Hanson is proof that you don't need 5 blades with a moisturizing strip, rotating fairy dust applying cartridge razor paired with a subscription for an incredibly nice shave. What you need is one sharp blade supported with precision. Precision comes from the aluminum parts of a Hanson razor being machined with super tight tolerances so that the blade, according to Hanson, only extends by 0.0013 inches past the shave plane. That is less than the thickness of a human hair, and the less the blade extends, the less chatter there is, meaning the blade can be more stable. This is the main way to avoid irritation and razor burn. Their robust construction also keeps the blade at exactly the right angle and supports it there uniformly so it's always perfectly parallel. Hanson says that their aerospace machine shop in Canada has also made parts for a Mars rover and the International Space Station, so they probably know how to do a precise job. I've been shaving with mine for over a month now, and especially with the shaving cream that they sent me, it's been quite an experience. Just a few quick swipes with very minimal pressure, and I have a perfectly clean shave. There's of course also much less waste than with cartridges, which is good for the environment, and while the handle of course is a bit of an investment, the blades themselves only cost about 10 cents each instead of the $2 or so that you'd pay for a cartridge. This means that over time you save a ton of money, and Hanson doesn't even have a subscription because you just don't need one. And to go further, Hanson will even give buyers their first 100 blades for free if they use my link hansonshaving.com/tfc. Note that you have to place both the razor and the blades into your cart for that to work. So go to hensonshaving.com/TFC, enter the code TFC for 100 blades for free. Happy shaving, and I'll see you next Friday.